Wow. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We are so glad you have joined us today on Living the Good Life. This is Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are coming to you live in the studio right now, just as always. And it's always fun to be here, and I am with my good friends and fellow ministry workers and leaders in the church. Michelle to my left.
What's happening, Gobo Sox? Come back.
What was that you just said? Bo Sox. I think she meant Boston Red Sox. For some of you out there that don't know what she was talking about, she's a little misguided sometimes, but we love her anyway, don't we, Catherine?
Yes. Get off baseball.
Off baseball?
Change gears.
Change
back
gears.
To
back to
I can't help it.
Beacon
the pastor always talks about baseball in heaven. So every time I come here, I think about baseball in heaven.
You're right. You know, we
they go together. Well.
Yes,
amen,
I know
amen.
We'll be playing baseball
That's
in heaven,
right.
Michelle. You know, I was a great second baseman. What were you?
I liked second base.
You
but
did.
I played the outfield most of the time, and then I came in. My last time I ever played was on second base. And
second
boy,
base.
That is an exhilarating position.
Isn't that a fun
I love
place?
It. But I'll take shortstop to
shortstop
you. Shortstop
to yeah. me second. Mm-hmm. All right, Catherine, you're going to play baseball with us on the heavenly team too.
I would be glad to, but I'm not a baseball player.
But you will
but
play.
Anytime
on
anytime you guys want to dust off your tennis rackets, I'll play tennis.
You will play tennis with us in heaven. Woo! All right. Boing, boing. We're so glad you've joined us today. As you can see, we're a little keyed up. And you know why? Because we are seeing the hand of God move so mightily in our ministry
Amen.
And in our individual
Amen.
Lives.
Amen. Praise God.
I mean, now that is why we need this,
yes.
right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I mean,
it would just be ringing the whole show
it would,
today.
It would.
Yeah.
Would it?
Amen. There's so many things
oh,
happening.
Oh, my. That's we're right. so yeah. excited. Catherine, yeah. tell our listening audience about our new place and where we're located and where they can find us if they're in the Tampa Bay area.
Well, we have been meeting temporarily in a hotel, a residence mm-hmm. inn, for weeks, maybe months now, I guess months, and praying for a permanent location.
Yeah.
And, you know, the hotel was going to change ownership, and it did, and then it didn't. And then, so anyway, we never knew when our last service there was going to be. But before
right.
it happened,
true,
we found our own space, our own property, and we're just really excited about that. It's right down the road from
where we were,
but it's a great location because it's right off the interstate.
Yes.
So from Tampa or Brandon or... you know, St. Pete, downtown St. Pete, it's really very convenient. So
it really
it's great.
Is. I mean,
3700 Almaton Road,
right.
Clearwater, Florida.
Same plaza as Panchero's restaurant and Five Guys.
And Papa John's.
And
a Greek
Once
place.
You see, I always see Panchero's because it's right on the corner there. Where you just turn right off and in the same plaza behind those restaurants is... the church right on the corner, and we've been putting up walls.
Yes.
We've been moving chairs, furniture.
Yes.
And with, you know, a handful of people, it's kind of all coming together,
walls of
isn't
salvation,
it?
Yeah. Not in a good way. We're not putting up walls in a bad way. We're
yeah.
putting up
walls,
walls
of
salvation, of
salvation.
Right?
Yes. Call your walls salvation, your gates praise. Mm-hmm. Amen. We're so excited about what God's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great day, and I hope that catches today. You know, I hope we can give out that enthusiasm and what God is doing and how he's answering prayers. And I love all of our radio team. All eight of you people are so wonderful and faithful, you know, to your calling of God on the
we
show.
Enjoy it.
It's fun, isn't it? And
it
I
is.
Always look forward to each week because it's a different flavor with
mm-hmm.
different people.
Mm-hmm.
And a few weeks back, I was in Indiana with my grandkids, and you guys hosted the show.
We did.
Yeah, and you had a good time doing
yeah.
that.
Actually, it was really, mm-hmm. really a good show.
It was.
Yeah.
We had a couple call-ins, too. We had some help. We
yeah.
had
mm-hmm.
Connie called in.
And Alice
called in.
Oh, yeah.
From Texas.
Good.
Yeah. And we had a good visit from her. I mean, it was like she was sitting here with us. We were
right.
just talking and catching up and talk, you know, just like we were all just sitting here in the same
Isn't
room.
That great?
So it was really good.
Isn't that
it was
fun?
Good.
It is. It's a lot of fun.
We're going to talk about God's faithfulness today. It's going to be a great show. I just have been so excited about it. Just carrying on from what God did this morning at Beacon of Hope. We'll tell you more about that. Michelle, why don't you open with prayer right now?
Lord, we want to just thank you first and foremost for this wonderful opportunity to spread the word.
Amen.
to as many people possible through this wonderful radio broadcast. Lord, please bless this show as we move forward. Put the right words in our mouth so the right people will hear.
Amen.
And as we learned Wednesday night, put it to their ear.
Yes.
For their hearing.
Yes.
To their thumb for what they do, and to their toe for what they, where they go. We plead the blood of Jesus over the radio show and our listening audience. In Jesus' precious name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Did we have an exciting morning at Beacon of Hope?
Yes, we did.
Did the power of God move mightily?
It was moving, that's for sure.
You know, some people stay home and enjoy Christian TV on Sunday morning, and that is fine. But if you're in the Tampa Bay area, we encourage you to come and visit with us, because God moved so mightily. There was hardly a dry eye, and God was moving today.
Yes, he was. What was it about today?
I can tell you that from my own viewpoint, I've just really been seeking God a lot more as far as God's anointing, his presence on our services. You know, we've been setting our alarm clocks in the afternoon, our phones, Michelle and I have, and some others, for 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, the hour prayer. And since we started doing that, there's been all kinds of things happen, including our building, the miracles of that space. And it's just like we have just been praying consistently and deliberately. And I'd say that's the answer right there.
Mm-hmm.
Consistent, deliberate prayer and believing God for the miracles.
Mm-hmm.
And then he brings it all together, which is a great segue into the song that I asked Connie to put on here, because this is Michelle Cardinal's
favorite
song.
Yeah, it is.
Thanks, Con. I looked at that. I looked it on our...
I didn't know that song was there. Yeah.
Here it is, Michelle Cardinal's favorite song.
That you can't go on, 'cause you had it all and watched it fall away. You feel betrayed, 'cause everything's gone wrong. Can't find the strength to hope for a better day. We may not understand the reason. Take your pain. He's gonna take your doubt. He's gonna bring it all together. Bring it all together. Gonna make you happy. He's gonna make you laugh out loud. He's gonna bring it all together. Bring it all together for good.
See your lips. You can, but wondering if the struggle means anything. If you realize that it's in his hands, you'll find the peace that sweet surrender brings. Well, we may not understand the reason. Well, I will never change. He's gonna take your pain. He's gonna take your doubt. He's gonna bring it all together. Bring it all together. Gonna make you happy. He's gonna make you laugh out loud. He's gonna bring it all together. Bring it all together. Healing. Oh, we will
know about you, but we're revved up here in the station. I got to tell you, Bill, if you think we're just going to have a normal show today, there's nothing normal about this show today.
No.
And I will tell you why.
He's going to say, or any show, though.
No, that's right. That's what he thinks. He's learning.
Tell me something different.
You're right. You know what it is? We're so excited about everything God's doing. We are jacked up. That's right. Celebrate his faithfulness. Yep. I love that. It said it in that song. Celebrate his faithfulness. Uh-huh. That's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's what we're going to do today on the air. We're glad you've joined us on Living the Good Life. You have plenty of time to call a friend and invite them, phone a friend and invite them to join us. And we're on till 6 o'clock. You say, wow, how do you do that? It is so easy. I cannot begin to tell you. I mean, really, when we went from 60 minutes to 90 about 2.5, 3 years ago, I thought it seemed like, wow, how 90 minutes. Then 90 minutes became too easy. And here we are enjoying every minute.
It goes by.
It goes by very quickly. Go with me to the book of James and look at chapter 1.
James.
All right. And here's what it says. Chapter 1, James, a slave of God and the Master Jesus, writing to the 12 tribes scattered to kingdom come. Hello. Consider it all joy. It's what it says in your translation, doesn't it, Catherine?
It says, consider it pure joy.
Pure joy. Okay. In the message, it says, consider it a sheer gift, friends. What do you have over there? NIV? You have the same?
I have the NIV.
Consider it pure joy, a sheer gift, friends, when, not if, tests and challenges come at you from all sides. That never happens to any of us, right?
Never to me.
Never.
Right, particularly now.
Never. You know that under pressure, here's what happens. Your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves.
Wind-whipped waves.
Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Catherine, why don't you read all that down through verse 8 in the NIV? It might be very familiar to some of our listening audience.
Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him.
Amen.
And when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind.
Wow.
That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does.
Wow, that's pretty strong, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, James starts out here saying it's a gift when you run into all kinds of tests and trials.
Right.
Now, I propose to you guys today that how would we know that God was faithful if we never went through any hard times to test his faithfulness? If you were just told...
Certainly it would be more difficult.
Yeah, I'm proposing that.
I don't think you have to. I've thought about that. No, go ahead, Michelle.
No, you go.
I've thought about because... You know, people have all different types of trials in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like, you know, there's some that have very few.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're living the good life as
the name of our radio show.
Yeah. I mean, as most people would see, they're very wealthy. They have a lot. They have a beautiful family, whatever. And we think, you know, well, they don't have to go through any trials or tribulations. But, you know, why is this on my shoulders? I have become to think that, of course, we don't know what's really going on in a family that looks perfect, but
right.
I think that sometimes that actually is a inhibitor of somebody being close to God.
When things seem so good?
Yeah. Because they, like you said, they haven't gone through those trials where they have to really rely on him.
Exactly.
Not that I would ever wish trials on anyone, but usually when you go through those types of times that are hard, you come out on the other side so much closer to God.
Amen. Amen. That's great. Thank you. Yes.
You know, I'd like to throw a little monkey wrench into all this.
She comes with her monkey wrench.
I agree with that, because on the other side of that, we do see, you know, victory and hallelujahs and God's faithfulness. I mean, it's more clear to us once we get on that other side. But you go through these trials and tribulations so many times, it's like, I'm not finding any pure or joy because it's purely what I just experienced, and there's absolutely no joy in this.
Right.
And you feel, I'm sure many listeners out there as well as myself, you know, you keep going through trials and tribulations, and yes, I have 1,000 of what I feel are miracles.
Right.
Because of what I went through, and I'm closer to God because I went through it. But sometimes when you're just under attack, even, you're feeling like, you know, I've been on this merry-go-round already.
Right.
I won off, and I don't feel like I need to go on it again. I know all the horses on this one. I know where all the seats are, and I'm pretty confident where I stand here. So why am I going on this ride again?
You know, that I think you're really expressing what a lot of people probably listening to this show right now, or who will listen to it tomorrow or, you know, soon on our website. I feel like a lot of people feel that same thing. I mean, why? They don't understand why.
Right.
And they don't appreciate the fact that the trials are what they are. And it's like, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to go around? God, can't you teach me some other way?
Yeah, and you get worn down.
Yeah.
And I realize, you know, many of us who are walking this, and many of us that are listening to this radio station are at the position, or in the position, that Christian, faithful, and God believing think, you know, okay, they're good. They reach that first step of salvation or whatever. But then it's so discouraging to feel like, you know, I've been broke.
Right.
I'm trying to think of different things.
Or, sure.
You know, I've been emotionally handicapped.
Right.
I've been this. You know, why can't I just have the shelter that we keep reading about, you know, in here?
You can. And that's what this show is all about today. You can find that shelter in the midst of the trial and the struggle, because so often the trial and the struggle is not what it really appears to be. And sometimes it is of our own making, which we're going to talk about.
Yes.
You know, times of we are the ones who got ourselves in a situation, or it's through ignorance that we don't know how to fight and get ourselves out of the ditch that we fell into, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just so many other facets of this whole thing of trials and problems that we're going to talk about today in the show, and hopefully share some of our experiences, because none of us here are young spring chickens, me being the oldest chicken here right now. But you know what? That's kind of cool, too. That I can look back and I can say, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that my God has been faithful to me all these years. However many that was.
How many was that?
I don't know. I couldn't remember. But anyway, he has been faithful. And that's what we want to talk about today. Because I agree, Michelle. I think you really said it very well. The way most people listening feel. They feel like, you know what? Can I learn this concept by just reading a verse in the Bible? Do I have to go through this? You know, isn't there another way, God, for me to learn your faithfulness other than going through issues? You know, does that appeal to, I mean, does that, you understand what I'm saying?
I do. I've always, because I have known some very Christian, blessed, have it all type people.
Right.
That, you know, do praise God for what they have. They are living they have a relationship with God.
Right.
But, you know, I have to say that the few I can think of, that's kind of the exception. Most of the people I think that have a lot of wealth and riches, they don't seem to have a personal relationship with God. And I don't know. I've always pondered that, you know, is there, you know, because of the all of the opportunities they've had in life that some of us would could never dream of.
Right.
That almost, you know, I don't want to say blocks, but it is a stumbling block for them to being close to God.
Right. They don't see a need. They don't have a need.
They don't have a need, and they don't see a need. It really shouldn't be that way. I think they should want a personal relationship, you know, with God and recognize Jesus as their Savior, period.
Right.
You know, whether it's somebody that's got a lot of trials and tribulations or not. But so often I've seen it where somebody in that very privileged lifestyle do not seem to.
Right.
And I think I heard a sermon once preached on that it can almost be, you know, like an illness or a death in the family. It almost can be, you know, wealth and riches like a stumbling block to a personal relationship with Jesus.
I
it shouldn't
totally
be
agree.
That way, but I've seen it.
I think that's the human condition.
Yeah.
I think that is our human nature. I mean, that we are so often just going along fine. Everything's cool. Don't bother me. I'm just cool.
Right.
Until some big problem comes our way. I mean, in an ideal world, we shouldn't be that way.
Right.
But I think a lot of us...
Some of it's human nature.
I think it's human nature. I don't think a lot of people see their need for God, you know?
I agree with that.
I
know, especially when you're, you know, have a great job, let's say, taking four or five big vacations a year, traveling a lot, busy, everything appears to be going along fine. You don't seem to make the time for having that personal relationship.
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, what just came to my head as you're talking about that, I was thinking of Wynonna Judd. She's a perfect example
that. We just
that.
Played her song right
she
there.
She's brought up in a Christian family with her mom and her sister, but she went through a really bad time. I believe she battled alcoholism and had a divorce and all that jazz. And in fact, this was one of the results of that trial and tribulation.
This
and
I song. Think so.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And look at how many people now have enjoyed that song.
Yeah, and how many people, because she has actually a ministry now.
Oh, yeah.
I would like to bring it back to the lay person, too.
Okay.
That let's talk about the person who's chugging along that's a faithful Christian. And what I was saying, you know, if nobody understood my analogy of the merry-go-round, you feel like you're going through the same trial.
Yes,
you're experiencing the same thing. And let's use financial hardship
stress,
for example.
I think that's a good example.
You know,
you feel like you get ahead and then you get pushed back.
Yeah, and you just feel like, well, why? What is it now? Okay, I've learned, and I can speak on my own. Is, you know, what is it now? You know, in my, let's say, my 18 to 24 age increment. You know, I was having financial struggles and this time because of whatever.
Tell us that's how old she was. Yeah. And I'm thinking she was pleasantly deceived.
Who are you trying to fool?
Exactly. Yeah.
All right. You know, you go through
that's
this.
That's not what you meant,
no,
right?
No, not at all.
Because you're not 18 to 24.
Yeah,
okay,
I'm 27.
All right.
So, but then you go through this, and then in your 24 to 32,
okay,
you go through another financial hardship, and you learn this.
Right.
And then you go 32 to whatever, 38, you know, you feel like you keep having these struggles.
Yes.
And you're like, okay, already. I get it.
Right.
You know, or maybe it's as simple as, okay, I get it. I need to keep a savings account or something crazy like that. But what is it? Why do you have to keep going through it? You know what I mean?
Well,
because
how many years did the children of Israel walk around the same cotton picking mountain?
I know, but I'm not building any cow. I'm not building a cow. You know what I mean?
I know. But you
I'm speaking for you, my brothers and sisters out there in rodeo land.
Yeah.
You know what? Radio, not rodeo. I'm thinking the cow thing, right?
It's common. What you're talking about is a common problem. People that go around the same mountain over and over again, make the same mistakes, don't seem to learn from their mistakes, you know, just keep doing it. That is common human nature, I'm finding. I can say that because I've been around those same mountains myself. And I've learned that we tend to have patterns of behavior. I think human nature
patterns
is.
Of behavior.
We have patterns of behavior, decisions we make that we are just used to. Like the plastic credit card, for instance, if you're talking finances, can be a crutch. It can be an easy escape. It can be a way of getting what we want right then. Instant gratification.
Shred it. I'm telling you. Shred it.
Shred it. There you go.
Yeah. I like where you're going with this, though.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking yesterday we saw one of Michelle's old friends from the Navy, and she used an expression that I use a lot, and it made me smile.
Okay.
And that is, she was telling a story about somebody that got into some kind of trouble, and she made the comment, you know, that was a poor decision. And I use that at work quite a bit. You know,
right.
This happened, yeah, because this poor decision was made.
Sure.
And I think that a lot of these trials and tribulations sometimes are through poor decisions.
Absolutely.
But, and, you know, friends and family can get very angry at you for making these poor decisions, or friends. You can lose friends over poor decisions.
Sure.
But it seems like God never gives up on you through these poor decisions.
Can we hear an amen?
Can I get an amen?
Even Bill's doing that. God never gives up on us even when we make the wrong decision.
Yeah. Yep, poor decisions. That's what I call them.
Poor decisions.
I'm gonna throw another...
Go ahead. 16-year... No. Kids,
16,
I
14,
poor decisions as we had nephews. Yeah. But, you know... They make these decisions and they're poor.
Okay.
And you want them to know
that's not the right thing.
Yeah.
But they don't want to hear it.
But think about, you know, your decision. Your decision's your decision. That's what I tell them. It's your decision. But if it's a poor one, then this will happen to you, and you'll have to be in this.
I love that analogy. And I mentioned this morning in my sermon, but I've got to bring it because it just really fits right here. My grandson Levi, that I've had here with me for the last 3 weeks, 10 years old, and we were on the golf course. Now, he's not been taught professionally, and I'm not a professional, but I played for a number of years, as does say my shirt right here, my golf shirt, you know. But I played for a long time. I've taken lessons, and I know you got to hold your head down, you got to keep your eye on the ball, and you got to follow through and not look up to see where your shot went.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the driving range hitting 165 balls, and my arms felt that way later. I could tell we hit 165 balls. But after about the third or fourth ball, I said to Levi, grandson, keep your head down, focus on the ball, don't look to see where your ball went. And he turned around, he goes, I know. You know, Nana, don't tell me I know. I said, do you really know? No. I said, well, don't tell me I know, because I'm trying to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually he listened, and later we laughed about it, because he did listen, and he did start hitting the ball further.
Right.
But aren't we, as human beings, just like that? We turn around to God and we go, I know, leave me alone, I'm going to do it my way, right?
And he patiently sits back and watches what happens when we do it our way.
He says, daughter, do you really know?
And then we just go, yeah. And because Levi, I mean, after I said, just try it my way. Just try it. Don't tell me I know anymore. Don't say I know.
Yeah.
I want you to try it my way, you know, which is not my way. It's the professional way, you know, and
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is, God is so patient. You said that word a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
This whole show today is about God's patience, his faithfulness, you know, because we're like little kids. We have to keep trying.
Yeah.
But the other wrinkle I want to throw into this is the aspect of the devil in our lives, in that he's no head of the class type guy, but he is smarter than the average bear, in that he looks for the patterns in our lives and then interestingly puts the temptation or the issue right in front of us, so we fall into that trap. In other words, the devil is a trap setter. Now,
trap
you can
setter.
Comment on that.
Yeah, well, I don't like it. That's my comment.
Nice comment. Really spiritual, Michelle.
I don't
really
like
good.
It.
Yeah, listening audience, you just have to be patient with her. She just doesn't like the concept of the trap setting. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And you know what? When you were saying that, the thought of the bully, the class or the school bully, comes to my mind. I've worked with the developmentally disabled, and that's not just saying mental retardation or physical challenges and all that stuff. Developmental disabilities come with many shapes and sizes. They could be atypical people like us with maybe attention deficit or overactive mind, which is pretty much the same. And I really believe that, you know, that schoolyard bully is that type of person that most likely comes from a very dysfunctional family or that sort of thing, and doesn't know any other way except to be ugly. So that's how I think of the devil, is he is smart. I hate to say it, but he is smart because he knows this stuff. And he was one of God's favorite angels.
Right.
You know what I mean? For a reason. And I think he's smart and he's mean.
He's
because he knows
totally
the way.
Mean and nasty.
And this is the bully.
Ugly.
The bully, I think, has hope.
Yeah.
But that's what I think is that bully knows how to get to that teacher. You know, I knew this one teacher. She was just an emotional wreck. She was a great teacher, but she didn't know how
what
to respond.
What did you do to her, Michelle? I mean, come on.
And you know, that's what it was.
Her
is, you know,
beat
you
up
just
on her.
Yeah,
I was a teacher. I hated that when people had my number.
Exactly.
I know.
And that's how I think that bully is, because he's just...
He's got your number.
Boom.
He's got your number.
And it's like torture, you know, the same thing.
Right.
But over and over and over and over and over again. And where's... you down.
And he loves it when you blow up and just lose your patience, you know.
Those are the two biggest things I think he loves is you get so worn out, you have no energy to even pick up the book, never mind open it to a prophetic word.
Exactly.
And then when you blow up and then you beat yourself up, now not only are you discouraged, but now you're beating yourself up or acting inappropriately.
And he's got you right where he wants you.
Right. Totally.
It's just like a little 2 or 3 year old that comes, why? Well, why? You know, and just keeps on with the same questions all the time. And he wears you down.
Yeah, it does.
Do you have a comment to that while we turn to Philippians chapter 1, listening audience? If you have your Bible, let's go there a minute for a couple
of
verses.
I think that you were saying how he's smart. And I think that why a lot of people make some poor decisions over and over again is because he tricks you into thinking it's going to work this time. Yeah. This time you're going to...
Catherine, that's profound. Wait a minute.
It is. It's so true.
That is so true. You want to say that again for our listening audience?
Kidding.
Who all they could hear was the ringing bell in their ear?
It just came flowing out of my mouth.
That's the anointing of God. He tricks you into
thinking it's going to work this time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you have a financial... poor decisions that you've made.
All right.
Okay. And you know you've done it. You've gone past it. You've gotten out of debt or whatever. And then he comes along and he says, there's a low interest credit card here saying that you're going to qualify for.
Right.
You know, this time you'll get it and you'll manage it properly.
Right. Yes, we're laughing because we fell into that trap once, or twice.
You know, somebody that has maybe a gambling problem. Oh, look, the new casino opened up one town over. This time you're going to be able to go there and you're going to be able to play for a couple hours and then you're going to leave.
You're going to be able to control it and not lose all your paycheck.
You're not going to stay there all night.
Well, you'll double it, too.
And then, you know what happens?
Triple it.
The same patterns. Well, you know, you fall into again. You max the credit card out. You know, get into the ATM at the slot machines and keep taking out money until your savings is gone. So these are the things that the Satan, I think we're all laughing because it is funny because you've lived through it.
We've lived through it.
But he knows how to make you think you're in control of your own life.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
He does.
He knows how to make you believe that and you fall into the same traps again.
And he knows the trigger points or the trigger, those pressure points where he can get you.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows that you're going to fall for that. And he knows what to say.
Right.
He's a liar. Don't forget, John 8 says, Jesus said, Satan is a liar and the father of lies. Okay.
Yes.
And we forget that. And Satan does everything by suggestions.
Yeah.
And that is a huge word. And those of you out there in radio land, write that down. Satan does not tell you what to do. He suggests things to you.
Yeah, that's so true, though, that he's a liar. Because
he's a liar.
I work with somebody that gambles, and I remember one time she said to me that, oh, we don't have money this month for this bill, but Jim, her husband, we're going to the casino tonight. We're going to have that money for that bill. And right away I'm thinking to myself, poor decision. You know, you're not only going to be not able to pay that bill, there's probably 2 or 3 other ones that are going down the tubes tonight. But, you know, I'm saying it in my head. But Satan has her convinced that she's going there to win, to get the money for that bill. And she's buying it.
Exactly. And, you know, those of you listening out there right now with a gambling problem, of course, we never plan what we're going to say on these shows. This is all Catherine and Michelle know, that we're talking about God's faithfulness when we get in here. Mm-hmm. It is not planned dialogue, is it not?
No.
We don't know.
No.
We totally let the Holy Spirit lead.
Yeah.
And so somebody needs to hear that message about gambling. Somebody needs to hear it and receive it and take it, because the devil is playing havoc with your paycheck.
Right. Yeah.
He's playing havoc with your paycheck. Did you find that verse?
No, I was looking. You said John 8:35?
I think so.
I have John 8:35, and I don't think it's...
Okay, well, I'm close. All right.
Looking. No.
So okay.
I'm looking.
But Jesus said, he's the liar and father of lies. Go with me to Philippians 1:12 while Michelle's looking for that. Philippians 1:12. And I want to read to you what Paul said here before we get to this next song. Because I'm going to throw this out to y'all, and I'm going to propose that what we do with our trials and our temptations is we have to get to a point where we say, thank you, God. Now, that's huge.
Thank you.
That's hard.
Philippians 1:12. This is Paul's words to the Philippians. I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. I'm going to ask you to read these verses in the NIV in a minute, Catherine, 12 to 14. Okay. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here and everybody else, too, found out that I'm in jail because of the Messiah. That piqued their interest and their curiosity. And now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever, speaking out fearlessly about God and about the Messiah. So read those verses in the NIV and set it up for us, Catherine. This is Paul being in the jail and telling the Philippians, you know what? It looks like that'd be a bad thing to have happened, but it hasn't been. It's been a good thing. So you want to read that, 12 to 14?
Sure. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly.
Amen.
Amen.
And so what we're saying here is, hey, it sometimes the persecution, the problems, especially when the devil is attacking, feels like it is so awful that we're like kind of what you described earlier, Michelle, that we are really under the gun, that we've got a bullseye on our head.
Right.
Which sometimes we do, and y'all know about my seagull problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know about it?
Yeah.
And in fact, my grandson, you know, he said, I've heard about the seagull problem. And the seagull problem is simply that it appears that I have a target on me where seagulls are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And so my kids and grandkids now, it's gone to the next generation, don't sit beside me very closely at the beach because of that target. And so often, we as Christians feel that we have this huge target on our head, you know, that the devil is just out to get us. And yet Paul is saying here, yeah, I'm in jail, but you know what? Good things are happening. Good things.
Yes. Amen. Amen. And it's and amazing that here this guy is in bound.
Yes.
Literally bound in chains and
right.
What do you call that?
Stocks.
Stocks and chains.
Not stocks and bonds.
Not stocks and bonds. Bondage.
Well, yeah,
you know,
there you go.
Stocks and bondage and chains and locks and cold, dreary, musty old dungeon kind of prisons. He's like, oh no, rejoice. Rejoice, I say.
It's exactly right. Thank you, God.
Yes, because look at how many people have.
Whoa.
We gotta, are affected by this.
Absolutely. We're going to talk more about this after this next song. People, we want you to be able to write us. Catherine has email up here running now, pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. We want your comments during the show. We want your questions.
Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah. And what you think about this topic. And we've already heard from a gambler that has just responded. So God is going to touch that gambler right now in the name of Jesus. This song is Thank You by the Katinas. Can we say thank you?
wanna pray can get you off of my soul. Came to say thank you, Lord, just for loving me. I, many times I do forget every need that you have met. Oh, thank you, Lord, I know you're showing me. You are there when I am down and out. You're holding me. Your love is so amazing. Oh, it changed me. Here I am, all I have. Raise my hands to worship you. I want to say thank you.
Thank you, God, for the rain in our lives. Thank you, God, for the storms. Thank you, God, for all the times it feels so bad. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are excited to be here with you today on the air. If you just joined us at 4:30, yes, we came on at 4. We have not got our publicity out very well on that yet, so we are on at 4, from 4 to 6, and so we encourage you to tune in earlier if you just tuned in. You're listening to Pastor Marcia McAllister and Michelle on my left, Catherine on my right. We're having a good discussion here about the trials and the problems that the devil says, you know what, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't love you, God has abandoned you, God is not there for you. The devil is always suggesting that kind of junk to us, and you're in prison because you are this and all that, and really putting us down. And Michelle found the verse for me, listening audience. It's John 8:44, where Jesus said the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He lies to us, guys. Michelle, do you want to comment on that before I go to Catherine?
Yeah, I kind of like this part of it.
Go ahead.
He lies. He speaks his native language.
Oh, whoa.
For he is a liar and the father of lies.
Wow.
And I just want to say the next part because victory in it is, yet I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. You know, God is love. You know, it's at the beginning of that, Jesus told him, if God were your father, you would love me.
Yes.
I mean, God is about love, and Satan's about not letting you believe that.
It's about condemnation and shame and guilt and all that awful stuff. Catherine, you had a great comment on this Philippians. We're in Philippians 1:12-14 right now. That course, that wasn't where I was going to go when I started this
real quick,
radio
this
show.
Is the part I really wanted.
Go ahead.
I lost it because I was on the spot. Sorry. He who belongs to God hears what God says.
Whoa.
That's the big thing, is
that's
we need
it.
To stop listening to the lies and listen to God and hear what he
Praise
says.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. That is
Sorry.
Huge. He who belongs to God hears what God says.
Right.
That goes along with Jesus saying, my sheep hear my voice.
Mm-hmm.
They know my voice. Go ahead.
And I think we can even bring that into Philippians 12:1, where
1:12.
Paul's 112, where Paul's in chains. And yes. I think that he knew God and he believed God and yeah. he continued that path, even though he wound up being chained. But his being chained really advanced the gospel.
Yes.
Because we read that, you know, the prison guard and the people around became encouraged and became courageous and fearless in how they were praising God, which, you know, Satan was probably thinking, you know, I'm giving the example of this man.
Right.
Being chained, and that's going to discourage everybody.
Right.
Instead of encourage, you'd think it would discourage everyone from praising and drawing close to God, but it had the opposite effect.
Exactly.
So,
yeah. I know. That's what I was thinking,
yeah.
too.
And God's up there smiling because God, you know, just had a faithful servant.
You know,
he had a faithful person in Paul, and he just sat back and let it all unfold.
Mm-hmm. He just let it unfold, and yeah. Paul was willing. That's the whole thing,
yeah.
you know? And not that Paul never had those times that you were describing earlier, Michelle, where you go around the same mountain over and over again, mm-hmm. and you wonder where God is. The purpose of this show today is to say God is always faithful and he's always on time. We are the ones who get caught up in going around the same trap or the same mountain over and over again. And the devil is the one who plays on our past. You know, the
right.
devil knows what we've
our
done,
weaknesses.
Our weaknesses.
Yeah.
Our pitfalls or mm-hmm. the things that easily trip us up. You know, if you're, let's say you're playing a chess game isn't a good example, but if you're tennis, let's go to tennis because that is a good example. When you're playing somebody you've played before, Catherine, don't you kind of know where they usually tend to
yes.
hit the ball?
Yeah.
Can you comment on that? Because she's a tennis pro, by
yeah.
the way.
You, I'm not a pro.
Martina Navratil, whatever her name is, and Catherine.
Great crush.
Right, yeah.
Well, you love playing people you've played before
right.
because you know their weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
You know if their backhand's weak, and you can guarantee if I'm playing somebody with a weak backhand, and it's much easier to have a weak backhand than forehand.
Right.
So you see those players. You will be guaranteed that one out of probably every three or four of my shots is more, even more will go to their backhand.
Right.
Because that's the higher.
All of them.
Maybe even all of them if I can make that happen. Because I know that's the highest percentage
yes.
that they're going to hit the ball out.
Because they've got
yeah.
a weakness.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
If
and
they're
like,
weak at returning serves, you can guarantee I'm going to do my hardest serve, my serve that's the most trouble because they probably won't return it.
Exactly. There you go.
And, you know, let's piggyback off of that. I'm playing devil's advocate over here is say you're in the same tennis match.
Right.
And you're on the opposing, you're the opposition, and you keep getting beat.
Right.
You know, you already have your membership to the tennis center, so they're not going to excommunicate you.
Right, exactly.
But you keep losing, 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 losing.
Right.
And pretty much you don't want to play tennis anymore.
So, you know, when the devil's just hammering you in the ground, you finally just say, forget it, I don't want to play?
Yeah, because I still can go to the tennis center anytime I want.
Hmm. Do you think that happens to a lot of Christians out there?
Maybe.
Or do you think they say, hey, I'm not letting her get me again. I'm going to go take some lessons, and I'm going to come back and beat her.
There you go.
Well, the other thing is you know what? I have other things to do. I'll go play golf because, I like I said, I'm in.
Okay. All right. So are you proposing that there are Christians out there in radio land across the world who have had their heads beat in by the devil in certain areas of their lives, and they finally go, this Christian thing is too hard. I don't want to play anymore. I'm going to take my toys and go home, and I'm just going to play video games from now till Jesus comes.
Right. Because I'm in like Flynn,
I'm in. I got help. I've got fire insurance.
Yep.
If Jesus comes tonight, I'm going to heaven. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to play anymore.
Yep. I'm tired.
Is that what you're proposing?
I am proposing because I'm tired of just barely getting to the ball, not getting to the ball on time, or, you know, having just not good enough of a backhand, or you know, I'm just not good at the net, you know, and I'm just like, who cares? I know how to play tennis, and I'm not getting happy over it anymore. I'm not jolly.
You know,
I have no joy.
I think that you're right about that, but I hope this show today changes some people's lives that have been content to go around the same mountain and actually just get off of the merry-go-round and just go play video games and escape, because people escape. They escape into media. They escape into other things. Was that an email you wanted to share?
No.
Okay.
She's refreshing.
That was an email, but not one she wanted to share.
Merely confirming that this is a unscripted radio show.
Live show. You know, I think that I have the faith right now rising up in me right this moment. I'm going to tell you what I'm believing for. I'm believing that this show today changes some people's lives. The gambler that just wrote in, I'm believing that this show is going to change that person's life, and that they're going to realize to continue around the same mountain is futile, and it leads to depression, discouragement, disappointment, death. It leads to all those things of just feeling like you're beaten by this thing. I don't know about you, but I do know about you. You're such a competitor, Catherine, that if somebody was playing to your weakness all the time, you would be one of those that said, okay, I'm going to figure out how to handle this and come out of this, because I'm not going to let that happen.
Yes, and I think that Michelle's that way too. I just think that she's playing the devil's advocate.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Yeah.
She is that way. She's a fighter.
She is that way, yeah.
And I believe right now that those listening to this radio show today are going to realize that there is a fighter within them.
Yeah.
And the reason that is because when you accept the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and He lives on the inside of you, the fighter is in you.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on, for heaven's sake.
Right.
You know, it's like, wow. You know, there's something going on there. You can feel that, and you want to go with that, you know?
Yep. And you know, when they say two more come into agreement.
Ooh.
I stand in agreement.
Absolutely.
For the gambler and all those listening in the audience.
Exactly.
There are. And that you are God's child. So you, even if you have that mustard seed of faith or
Amen.
Belief.
Amen.
It's
right.
It just grows in that fighter in you grows.
Yeah.
And then you become a champion.
Yeah. Right.
And even if you have bad influences around you, you know, some people have gotten themselves in a bad situation with their support group.
Right.
You know, they're bringing them down instead of lifting them up.
That's true.
They should remember and be encouraged that their best advocate going fighting for them all along is God, no matter how bad or what situation, that Woo! God is always fighting for you. But I do think it helps in something you just said, Michelle, that if you can get a like-minded friend or family member or partner with you to encourage you and build you up in the same faith, it really does help.
It's a prayer of agreement. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when we realize that God is faithful, maybe, you know, it's the thing of maybe I'm weak in an area, you know, but you're strong in that area.
Right.
And you call me and you say, hey, you know what? You're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. What's the matter with you? You know,
right.
I think I even bellyached to you last week that the real estate market of which I earn my income from has really kind of gotten kind of
challenging.
Yeah. To say the least in the last few weeks. And you said something to me about God always takes care of you, you know? And we agreed in prayer for our businesses, which we have done that, you know? And so, guys, yes, if you're weak in an area, maybe you're a gambler out there and you have allowed the devil to beat your head in and cause you to lose your paycheck time and time again. This is the moment where you need to be set free from that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to realize that that's the devil playing with you and making a mockery out of you, really.
Yeah.
He's making fun of you. He's sitting up there going, ha, 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 I got your number.
That's right. Bind it up.
And cast it out and refuse
it.
Fall out of agreement with it.
Yep.
And instead fall into agreement with what God wants to do.
That's
what Paul did here. He said, I don't care if you beat me up and you threw me in prison, because this turned around good. Everything's good from it. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering, sort of, can you expound on, you know, somebody that's in this situation? What do you, can you expound on what you said about falling out of agreement with that type of
Yeah, because it becomes a conscious decision, you know? And we can, and I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, or a few weeks back at church, that God had shown me that we should really actually use the term falling into agreement or falling out of agreement, because it denotes something. And I don't know if you were there, Catherine, when I gave the example of how I was playing with my little grandson Levi years ago when he was about four around my pool when I lived in Tampa. And I fell into the deep end, 8 feet deep end of my pool. And I was all ready to go out to dinner, all dressed and everything.
I don't think I was there for this story.
Yeah, it was really cute.
I think I would have remembered it.
I fell into the deep end of my pool. Well, as a result of that, of course, I had to change clothes, take a shower, do my makeup, do my hair, do everything all over again. There was a dramatic effect from me falling into the pool. Now, I didn't just say, oh, the pool's nice, I'll wade in. That's not what happened. I fell into that pool, and it changed my life for the next 30 minutes until I had to re-get ready. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, God showed me driving down the road a few weeks back that we need to fall into agreement with the truth of His Word and His nature, His faithfulness, His love, His mercy, His grace. We need to fall into that where it immerses. When you come out of a pool, Michelle, you're a pool person. You've fallen in a few times. Yeah. And when you come out of there, you're just head to toe wet, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just your toe is wet. You're wet all over, right? And I really am saying we need to fall into agreement with what God's Word says about us, the fact that He says He's faithful, which we're going to talk about in the next segment. What does He say about this subject? And I challenge you, listening audience, listening today or on our website later on, that you need to fall into agreement with what God's Word says about you in the areas that you are struggling with. Pick an area. You know, pick an area that you're struggling with, and let's believe God. I said this morning that church I passed their thing. I passed it again when I went back home a minute ago. And it said, God may make you wait, but He never allows you to worry. Or no, He never wants you to worry. He may make you wait, but He doesn't want you to worry. Okay? So, I mean, He gives you permission to wait. You know, but He doesn't want you worrying about it. And that's where we get all messed up. You have a comment to all of that before we do station ID.
You know what I did? And I,
you lost it.
Yeah,
huh?
I totally lost it. I was just thinking, wow, that was pretty profound, but, it'll come back.
It'll come back.
Yeah. Okay. Catherine, do you have a comment before we do station?
I'm excited to talk about this falling into agreement because I think that for all of us listening that you can, you know, be a believer and you can be in whatever faith or wherever place you choose to worship, you know, sort of going through the motions.
Right.
But falling into agreement is, you know, it's more than that.
It's more than that.
It's, you know, really living it, buying all of it, not just picking and choosing what you want to believe. It's a lifestyle that you're choosing to do. And I really want to get
we're going to do that.
That. Yeah.
We'll do that in just a minute. We got to do station identification all the way, also including Alabama, Mississippi.
WPAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, and Wesley Chapel. And KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock, Arkansas.
This is what he
all right. You
I know what I wanted
joined.
To say.
Yes, she remembers. So I'll tell you who you've joined in a minute. Go ahead, Michelle.
That's who you joined is what I wanted to mention. Is when the pastor was talking about these areas in your life that you have struggles with or challenges in, and you don't know where to look, email pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com.
Very good.
Right.
Because she will give you,
I'm telling you,
the woman has an incredible anointing. She knows the call she has on her life, and she is one of the most giving human beings I have ever met in my entire life. And you can email her anytime. And continuously, as many times and any time you want. And she will give you a word that is going to be specific to your needs. That was a very powerful service this morning.
Wow.
And that's what she did. She identified so many individual specific needs. I mean, right down to the fingernail kind of needs. And that's what's going to happen. And is it her as a human being?
No.
No, it's her choosing that lifestyle that Catherine, she was, has surrendered and submitted to God to allow him to come in and work through her. And that's why if you don't know what to do, you don't know what to pray, you don't know where to look, email her. Pastor at beaconofhopeministries.com.
Thank you for saying that, Michelle. You know, it is the gifts of the Spirit. It's following the leading of the Lord. We're glad you've joined us today on Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are a ministry of 9 years now and incorporated, of course, a 501(c) corporation, which means you can give financially to us and get a tax donation for that. Catherine, you're our new treasurer because Alina moved away.
I am. Going to be some tough shoes to fill, I'll tell you.
She did a great job. Wasn't she? Oh, my gosh. Really, one of the best ones we've ever had.
I think so. Yeah,
and so thorough with everything. Yeah. And you're that way, too. And so welcome on board as treasurer of Beacon of Hope Ministries. And it's good, isn't it, to kind of keep the Lord's money here. You know, it's kind of cool. Isn't it?
It is, and we want to encourage anybody that would like to donate either to the church or to the radio program specifically to do that. And it's the best way from the website on PayPal, right? We have access to PayPal on our BeaconofHopeMinistries.com website. So please, if you're
just go and donate
in agreement with what we're saying and you believe in what we're doing, we would really appreciate the donation.
You know, we don't talk about money much. You know, I never have. And yet God continually meets our needs. The miracle of this building is incredible. Mm-hmm. And we won't go into all the details, but it's just one thing after another. We found favor with the builder, the developer, and God just put us in a brand new space. And
brand
it is
spanking new.
Too cool.
It's awesome.
Yeah. We're the first people
person in
there.
Yeah. Isn't
nice.
It great?
It is.
It's wonderful. Really. Michelle.
We look at so many others that just for one reason or another just did not work.
Aren't you glad we didn't take something out of desperation that would have been second best? Yeah. We waited for God's best and it was perfect. And Michelle, you and your buddy Bruce built the office, the kitchen, the entry. We're so pleased. All that work that's been done, all the painting, everybody that's come and participated. Yeah. There's been so many that have done something, you know? It's just incredible, isn't it?
It is. And I wish I could take credit for building anything, really. All I did was stuff a couple of walls with insulation, but Bruce is absolutely brilliant.
Yes.
We
thank Bruce.
And for putting the walls up.
Yes.
And
they
are the walls of salvation, and I'm believing that they're the walls of his salvation as well. And that he and not only him will be abundantly blessed as we have been, but same with the Clarks, isn't that what the developer and
the Clarks? Yes, they're both have a first name Clark.
Yeah.
So the Clarks
and everybody that has put their blood, sweat, and tears.
But you know, I've seen something happen since all this hard work's been going on.
What?
And I thought
you're talking about my tired muscles in my back.
No, she's
been
talking about my
tired muscles. I've been listening to sore feet and everything else. And I want to say, because I'm not one of the people really that's been in the midst of it, so I can kind of, you know, look from the outside a little bit. And I was listening to Michelle joke that she's found this, you know, service that does any kind of handiwork and carpentry really low priced. And she's like, you know, now that all the painting's done, I found these people, now that this is done. And I just sat there and I thought, you know, I've been hearing all these funny little stories from all of you as this work's been going on. And it's been sort of a binding period, for the people.
Yes.
I've seen people become closer through living through this. And if you just hired someone to come in one day and it was all done, I just don't think it would have
been
the same
so much
effect.
Fun.
I don't think it would have.
That's a great point.
It is. You know what? We came full circle here. Talk about going through these trials and being in a prison. Because honestly, you know, all kidding aside, much of the work that was done, this is a 1,500 square foot open raw space. We're talking only drywall has been put up. That means completely dry, concrete floor and everything else. And it wasn't the easiest of jobs. And what I kidded around with one of the our other members is that the Lord knows I'm not a professional carpenter, drywaller, painter, blah, 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 blah. So he doesn't care about the nooks and crannies. Well, there is a story in each one of them. So we were kind of in a prison of doing that or that task. And I can tell you, I don't know one person that would have been their first choice to do. to spend their evening.
All right. Yeah.
However, like you said, Catherine, you're absolutely right. Through this, you know, like Paul and Silas.
Through the hard times.
Through the hard times has not only has this come about, but you have, and Catherine did do a little spackling, I will say that, and some
support.
Honestly, you know, by and large, I have had other commitments that I had to follow through on.
Right, and but you experienced and you felt that binding and that fellowship and all that.
I've seen it.
So
really,
it didn't just affect those of us that were in that prison of love, and labor. But Julie probably has felt like her hands have been completely tied because, you know, she's chomping at the bit to help as well. But she simply had other commitments and things. She had
classes to finish.
She's felt it because everybody enjoyed the stories and that sort of thing, too.
Yeah, but, I love
the
stories and sharing the food together there in the midst of the dust. And
hilarious.
The it's
been
times like that you really look back and
We've had such bonding times and so much fun. And, you know, dust everywhere and them accusing me of being a hoarder, you know. And
but
them
you know what
making
I think?
Me go through all my stuff.
You know? I think, though, Pastor, I think that that has brought everyone closer together.
It has. I totally agree. It's been wonderful. And I got to say this before we do this next song, By Your Side by 10th Avenue North. That's not the street they live on. That's the name of them. I want to say this. Thanks to all those in our ministry that have given financially and everything. And this afternoon, and most of our people don't know this, you guys do know this, we have been blessed this afternoon with the donation of the carpeting for the sanctuary.
Wow. That is the last major thing we really
that's
need, isn't
the major
it?
One. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it happened this afternoon. And so we praise God for those that step forward to take care of that obligation. And so By Your Side by 10th Avenue, and then we're going to do some more talk and get your Bible and go to Psalm 100 with us.
Why are you striving these days? Why are you trying to earn grace? Why are you crying? Let me lift up your face. Don't turn away. Why are you looking for love? Why are you still searching as if I'm not enough? To where will you go, child? Tell me where will you run? To where will I'll be by your side wherever you fall in the dead of night. Whenever you call, and please don't fight these hands that are holding you. And my hands are holding you. Look at these hands at my side. By your side.
Praise God. Great song, By Your Side. Thank you, God. You're always by our side no matter what we're going through. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We're talking today about God's faithfulness to us. Faithfulness, I believe that word means something like loyalty, maybe loyal love. The Message Bible translates it loyal love. Is there a definition in the back of the NIV? Let's look for that. You just joined us. We are on from 4 to 6 on Sunday Live every single week. You can email us right now to the computer sitting right here. And the way you do that is pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. While I'm saying that and while you're finding Psalm 100, you can also send all prayer requests to our international global prayer ministry, and the way you reach it is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. We have seen so many answers to prayer that I can't even begin to tell you how excited our little ministry is. Little ministry, huge ministry.
Yeah, the prayer ministry has gotten huge.
Oh, it's gotten huge. And if you want to be on the prayer team, they can just write, right, Catherine?
Yep.
And just join, just write prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com, and they can become a part of the prayer team. Go with me to Psalm 100. Look at verse 1. On your feet now, applaud God. You know what? I don't know about you, but I can applaud at a baseball game. Of course, we all three are kind of baseball addicts, don't you think?
Yeah.
We love it, and we love to go to the games, you know?
We were at the game last night. We took the kids there.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I didn't get to go last night.
And the Rays won.
Yes, they did. It was a good game. But
the sprinkler came through.
Don't you occasionally stand to your feet and applaud?
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I know you guys do when it's the Red Sox, but don't you stand on your feet?
Oh, for the Rays, too. Oh, yeah.
Yep, and I whistle, and I hoot, and I holler.
Exactly. And, you know, God says here, Psalm 100, on your feet now and applaud God, you know? And sometimes we have a clap offering in our worship service where we just applaud God, you know? We're just excited about the words of a song. Bring a gift of laughter. I love that. A gift of laughter, you know? And I love that about Beacon of Hope because we are a crazy bunch. And
we have a lot of laughter.
We have a lot of laughter, don't we? Even in the sermon, we laugh sometimes quite a bit.
Yes, we do. And, you know, every time I think of this...
I won't take any credit for that.
In my life is, you know, that almighty Bruce with Jim Carrey.
Oh, yeah.
And Morgan Freeman was played God. But this one part of it... I really believe this is the case for me, and I'm sure it's the case for many people.
Right.
Is when I'm feeling sad and discouraged, I think of that because I do think that God goes, you know, you make me laugh, Michelle. You know, just like my mother. You know, my mother is just she's my biggest fan.
Right.
You know, and she just thinks I am the greatest storyteller, and she giggles so much she has to cross her legs because she's afraid she's going to pee herself. Kind of thing, you know what I mean? And I think of that with God because I think He loves us so much,
right?
Like my mother with me,
right?
That he sits there and goes,
"Oh,
you know,
I'm sure."
He makes me laugh.
The situations that we get ourselves into,
he has
to be laughing up there.
And you know, when I pray to Him, when I take my walks or whatever, I'm like, you know. And I'm just not feeling real encouraged.
Right.
I talk to him just like I talk to Catherine or my friends in a joking, sarcastic, okay, where are we going here?
Right.
You know, and I think, you know, God, we make him laugh, and you know, just like children make their family.
I love that. And it says right here in the Message Bible, bring a gift of laughter. I love that. Mm-hmm. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. You know, and
did you hear that, Bill? I sang myself into his presence.
Yeah, Bill wasn't real complimentary of Michelle singing.
He definitely was saying, keep your day job.
I was just joking. I wasn't being serious.
You're forgiven.
She has a great voice.
Yes. Thank you, Bill.
Or not.
Now he needs to be forgiven for lying. I don't know. Sing yourselves into his presence. You know, because so often we say, well, how do you get into the presence of God?
Just start singing.
And you asked me earlier about what was going on, because today's anointing on the word and on our service was huge. And I got to tell you that I do this, okay? And on the Sundays that I have more time in the morning, I don't have house guests or whatever, and grandkids and stuff.
Right.
When I have the time to really sing myself into the presence of God, the anointing falls. I'm going to tell you that. That is a secret to it. Okay. Verse 3. Know this. God is God, and God, and God, God, he made us. We didn't make ourselves. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Now, I like verse 4 of Psalm 100. Now, I'm going to have you read the whole psalm in the NIV in a minute. But verse 4 says, enter with the password, thank you. Because we all understand passwords now because we live in a cyber society where we have to have a password for everything. Here's mm-hmm. how you enter into God's presence. You use the password, Michelle. Here it is. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Or, as I grew up saying, gracias. Muchas gracias. Right. Enter with the password. Thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him. Worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous and love, loyal always and ever. And that last phrase says his faithfulness
continues through all generations.
His faithfulness, which is the theme of this radio show today. So, Catherine, read Psalm 100 to us in the NIV, please.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Oh, isn't that true?
Mm-hmm. His love endures forever.
Okay.
His love endures forever. And ever.
Is that a song?
And ever.
She just made it up. We don't know. Wait a minute. It's a great song. Go with me to the book of Lamentations. Turn left in your Bible and go to Lamentations and look at chapter 3. And it's verse 19. The prophet Jeremiah wrote the book of Lamentations. I love this section of scripture. I could teach for hours on this section of scripture. And it is Lamentations 3:19. And here's what Jeremiah says. I'll never forget the trouble. Well, lots of times, Michelle, you were talking about that. There are times that we just go through so many troubles, we don't forget them. You know, and here's what Jeremiah said, the utter lostness, you know, feeling lost, the taste of ashes, the poison I've swallowed. I remember it all. Oh, how well I remember. Can we all relate to that? We can remember the hard times that you were talking about, Michelle, earlier, going down the same mountain, the devil having your number, you know, the pressure's on, you know. We remember the harassment, do we not?
Yes.
We remember the rough times, guys. Oh, how well I remember. The feeling of hitting the bottom. Does anybody remember that out there in Radio Land? The feeling of hitting the bottom. But there's one other thing I remember. Does everybody see it? And remembering, I keep a grip on hope. Lamentations chapter 3, starting with verse 19. If you're just finding Lamentations, which is fine, it's a hard book to find. It's very little, stuck in the middle of a lot of other little books.
Between Jeremiah and Ezekiel.
There you go. There's one other thing I remember, and remembering, I keep a grip on hope. Verse 22. Now I'm going to ask you to read this in the NIV. God's loyal love couldn't have run out. His merciful love couldn't have dried up. They're created new every morning. How great your faithfulness. There's the word again. I'm sticking with God. I say it over and over. He's all I've got left. God proves to be good to the man who patiently waits, to the woman who diligently seeks. It's a good thing to quietly hope for help from God. It's a good thing when you're young to stick it out through the hard times. Oh, my. When life is heavy and hard to take, go off by yourself. Enter the silence. Bow in prayer. Don't ask questions. Wait for hope to appear. Wow. I want to hear all that starting with verse 19. Wow. I love this section of scripture. Mm-hmm. So read it to us.
There's so much just in that.
Woo.
I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope.
Amen. This I call to my mind, therefore I have hope. Okay, sometimes, guys, we have to call this back to our mind. Wait a minute. I have to have hope. And Michelle mentioned it a minute ago, sometimes you need somebody to remind you of these things. Mm-hmm. And you can definitely email me at pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. I'll be happy to remind you.
Right.
Go ahead.
I don't think Satan's going to remind you, though.
Oh, Satan's not going to remind you. Thanks for bringing that up, because he doesn't.
Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed.
Uh-huh.
For his compassions never fail.
Amen.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness.
Great is your faithfulness.
I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him.
Yes.
The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace.
And then it just goes on to say that God always comes through. Mm-hmm. Even though these bad things happen to us, God is faithful to do what he said he's going to do. What does this whole thing say to you, too? I mean, how does it make you feel? I love this. I remember, therefore I have hope. I bring it back to my remembrance, you know?
Yeah.
You know, especially when the devil harasses us and wakes us up in the middle of the night and tells us he's not going to follow through this time. God's not going to do it this time, you know?
And it's saying when you're downcast, that's right before I call to mind that I have hope. Right before that, it's saying, my soul is downcast within me. It means when you're down, when things are not going good, that's when you have to call to mind.
There you go.
And it's hard. You know, that's not the first thing you're thinking of how to get through a situation that's
right.
not good. You know, you've got all this coming at you probably. You've got a lot of distractions.
Right.
Yet it's saying here, call to mind that you have hope.
Exactly. And that's you were saying, let's go back to the falling in agreement concept that we
right.
were talking about before the break. We have to consciously fall into agreement with hope and with God's faithfulness to what we know about God. We have to fall into that, just like mm-hmm. falling into the pool.
Right.
If you just wade into a pool, it's not going to change your life that much to get your little foot wet,
right?
You know, or your big toe. But when you fall into the pool, especially when you don't expect to fall in the pool,
mm-hmm.
but you just do, boy, your life has changed.
Right.
Comment on that, Cardinal.
Wow, this is, I encourage you all to read this because I was doing a quick little skim over it. And honestly, I feel that this has been given to me.
Okay.
And I'm confident that I'm not the only one in the world that feels this
Amen.
Way. The right before 19, this is really how I have felt many, many times. He has broken my teeth with gravel. I mean, just get a visual here. He has broken my teeth with gravel.
Yeah.
He has trampled me in the dust.
Yeah.
I have been deprived of my peace.
Woo.
Which verse are you in? I'm sorry, Michelle.
Right before
16,
there. 16:18.
Okay.
16:18. I have forgotten what prosperity is.
Yeah.
So I say my splendor is gone and all that I hoped from the Lord.
Woo.
That's
and if
heavy.
That, it's totally heavy.
It gives you
and
a good visual.
It really does. So imagine that. And then that is what the devil wants you to stay focused on.
That's it.
Your broken teeth, you have so much dust that's going up your nose. I mean, you're trampled and crushed and broken. Isn't that what happened to Paul?
Absolutely.
He was beaten.
Yeah.
Near death.
Near death. Different
near
times.
Death. Many times, but that one time
yeah.
I was thinking about when he was walking the streets and they
yeah.
almost beat him, literally beat
to
him
death.
To death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, well, even with Stephen, mm-hmm. what happened
they
with
did.
Stephen?
With Stephen, they succeeded.
They did beat him and stone him
I
to
think
death.
Part of that was because Stephen saw Jesus and he wanted to go.
Yeah.
I think
yeah,
he fell into agreement with heaven.
Right.
I really do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could have stopped, but it was
yeah.
like, Stephen just goes, okay, see you guys.
Yeah.
I see something better. Gotta go.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm
you
sure,
know?
You know, but that's true. And I don't
yeah.
want to take away from
no,
that
No, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, and that's I don't want that to be taken away because I agree that Stephen probably was like, whoa, yeah, okay, whatever. I'm going, I see Jesus, man. He stood up for me.
Right. But, that's right.
I think of that, and that's how bad it's going to be, whether it's in a gambling situation, whether it's in depression, emotionally destroyed, financially destroyed, anything. Remember that. That's how you are. But the glorious splendor of God's love for you and what he will, he has promised.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
God has promised prosperity.
Amen.
And life.
He's and promised to answer your needs and your prayers.
He has. All we have to do, one simple thing, ask.
Didn't Paul say, my God shall supply all my needs all according my needs. To his riches and glory in Christ Jesus? Didn't the psalmist David say that God delights in the prosperity of his servant?
Because he is faithful to
he
us.
He is faithful, which is a wonderful segue into that old song I asked Connie to put on today, Great is Thy Faithfulness, but Done in a New Way by Chris Rice.
Isn't that funny?
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see.
Thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness.
Nice version of that.
It was nice.
Song, yeah.
Yes, Chris Rice. That was great. We're talking today about God's wonderful faithfulness. Catherine, we're talking about falling into believing that very thing, that God is faithful. He's faithful to what he promises us in his word. He's faithful when he says, I am the God who is more than enough. I am your Jehovah Jireh, your provider. I am your Jehovah Rapha, your healer. I am your Jehovah Shalom, your peace. He is all that we need. And we have to fall into that and really let that come all over us and immerse us, you know, like falling into a pool. Do you want to comment on that?
Yeah, when you first gave the analogy, I'm like, falling into a pool, that's like when you fall, you're committed. You're not halfway there. You're going all the way.
Like falling in love, you know?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You're submerged.
Right.
When you fall into a pool of water, I'm assuming you went all the way under.
Yeah.
You are in the moment. There's nothing else on your mind. There's nothing
else
that's
distracting
you. Doesn't
matter that your cell phone's in your pocket.
Yeah, no, it doesn't matter.
Nothing.
It's all there. And what an amazing experience it must be to be falling into that kind of faithfulness. Because to me, that would mean, you know, you're not distracted by these other things. Mm-hmm. Your actions are showing that you're living it and believing it. And it's something to strive for, because I just think, you know, people that do that are an inspiration to me.
Oh, amen. I mean, and that is surrender. I mean, falling into that kind of agreement with the nature of God, that's surrender. We've been talking about that for a while, have we not, Michelle?
Yeah, I think because it's one of the main threads of living this life is constantly surrendering and submitting yourself. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do. Just like, you know, to continue on with your falling in that pool.
Yeah, go ahead.
Many of us, instead of just relaxing, this is what happens with drowning victims. They struggle to get to the top.
Oh, yeah, that's true, yeah.
And if they just would just calm down, which obviously is against all human, but just for the sake of this analogy.
That's true, though.
Is if you, the biggest, people who struggle when they're drowning, they're more likely to drown because they tire themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
If they would just submit to the falling in the water,
doesn't that
very
fit?
Likely, yeah, they float. They will float and then just,
but
know,
don't we just
struggle
against
just
trusting
fight,
God?
Fight,
yes,
fight
all the way,
and we exhaust ourselves.
Yes,
I find it interesting that you said at the very beginning of the show that, however we have come to this trial or tribulation that we've come to in our life, that you know, something may happen, you know, life may happen or whatever, but many times it's us doing it. And mm-hmm. When you were saying that, I'm like, come on. I'm tired of hearing that. Come on. Something always happens, you know, that kind of thing. And this is it. This is one of those things, is you struggle because you think you can get back to that service quicker the more you fight.
Right. Just like a drowning victim. That's what you're saying.
Like
that's a
drowning,
great analogy.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
And you don't.
Yeah.
If you just submit.
Yes.
And float. Now, I'm not saying everybody go out there and try this in a pool or something, you know, because, you know, men, and there's people with muscle mass and all that stuff. That's a whole nother story. But if you just relax and let yourself be saved.
Right.
How about that?
How about that? That
right
was good.
On.
Yeah.
And be saved.
She deserves a little ding.
I think a ding, and be saved.
Then, and, you know, completely submit to the situation.
Right.
And be saved. That you'll find that it's a
trust.
Lot.
Yeah. Faith. I mean, faithfulness and trust go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. We got to believe and fall into agreement with God's faithfulness. And we got to trust him that he means that for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the devil comes and suggests, well, that's fine for Joel Osteen or somebody like that.
Yeah.
But I've been reading a book written by Benny Hinn. Lately, I've read it many times. It's in my personal library, but I've really picked it up again this week. And he knew Catherine Kuhlman, okay? And Catherine Kuhlman was one of the great healing evangelists of the last century. And Catherine had made a lot of mistakes in her life. She'd been married several times. She just had a lot of things happen to her, you know. And she, towards the end of her life, is when the healing ministry really began, the last 10 years of her life, okay? And a lot of people thought she was that way forever, but she wasn't. And she said in one of her miracle crusades, I think the one in San Francisco, and she may have said it in a lot of different times, but she said, I got to the point where he's all I have, meaning God. Mm-hmm. That she had gotten to a point in her life where she totally trusted him. She totally believed him, that he was faithful, and that she didn't need anything else, really. And we get caught up with all the things we need.
Yeah.
You know, and it sidetracks us and it gets us off focus. You want to comment
on
that?
We started off saying some things about that right in the beginning, that these distractions and things that we think are so important to us.
Yeah.
Are really getting in the way of what's really important
exactly.
to us. And a couple weeks ago, you were preaching on running the good race, something like that. Winning the good fight or running the good race.
Mm-hmm.
And that made a big impression on me because we spend a lot of energy doing, you know, all kinds of races. Our race in our jobs, our race in our family life, our race in, you know, whatever recreation or sport we might do. But, you know, is that really the good race? The big race. And it's really not, you know.
It's not the big
one.
I've
come to the conclusion it's really not, you know. Let's spend some more energy on what really should be the race. So for me, and I hope for other people listening, you know, that's where you choose.
Right.
You know, are you going to fall completely into it, into faithfulness, and living like you expect that?
Ooh.
You know, it's...
That's profound. You just walked into this. That's a great segue for Proverbs 3. And I want us to look at verse 3. Proverbs 3:3, about the middle of your Bible. Here's what King Solomon, the man of wisdom, said. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Don't lose your grip on love and loyalty. Proverbs 3:3. Tie them around your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. Carve them about tie them about your neck. Carve their initials on your heart. What? Love and loyalty. God's faithfulness right there. His loyalty to you. Earn a reputation for living well in God's eyes and the eyes of the people. Now, I want us to look at verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. And everywhere you go, he's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. So let's read those verses in the NIV, starting with verse 3 down through, I don't know what it is, 6 or 7 maybe?
Okay. Let love and faithfulness never leave you.
Love and faithfulness. Okay, that is loyalty, faithfulness.
Right.
Is that the definition, by the way, Michelle, when you looked it up?
I don't have it. I thought I had a you know, but I don't.
Faithfulness is best described as loyalty, I believe. Go
ahead. That's true, yeah.
Okay. We talked about it in Bible study, which we'll plug here in a minute.
And this said love and faithfulness, but what did yours say? Loyalty and what, love?
Love and loyalty.
Okay. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
Yes.
Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
Wow. Trusting in the faithfulness of God, falling into agreement with the fact that God is faithful, no matter what you think it feels like, what matter whether the devil says you're not getting out of this mess, it's good for you. It's good for your bones. It's healing to your body when you trust God. This is the best medicine. We're not selling any little two-bit tonic here today or even vitamin C, which I believe in. We are we are selling the faithfulness of God and that it's healing to your bones, Michelle.
That is so true. In a day where you pop a pill for everything.
Exactly.
Look at what could truly be healing to you.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
I am exploding, erupting with an analogy here.
All right, let's hear it, girl.
And this is totally the Holy Spirit that has brought this. You know, we're going through all this, and this is glorious. This is victorious. And for many of us, it can be miraculous.
Right.
You know, let's fall into agreement. Submerge yourself. Submit. Trust God. You know, how many of us are out there, all right, yeah, woohoo! I want some of that potion. I want some of that vitamin C you're selling. Mm-hmm. Where is it? I want it. How do we fall into agreement? How do we fall in love? And I was thinking about this.
Yes.
How do we fall in agreement? How do we submerge ourselves? How do we trust God?
Right.
Obviously, get to know him.
Right.
That's great. That's okay, I'll get to know him. I sign up for that class. How do we get to know him? And then I started thinking, when you fall in love, you know, when you fall in love with somebody, that's all you can think about. You know, you can't yeah. wait until your break so you can make a call and talk yeah. to them for 3.5 minutes.
Uh-huh.
You can't wait to be with them and you know, your time with them flies by.
Right.
And you're there together for 4 hours and it seemed like you were there for 30 minutes. How do we get to that place with God? How do we? And it's we have to get to know him.
Amen.
And
amen.
I'll hold that thought for a second. My other thought is when you get to know him, when you fall in love and you true love, you trust. You have such unwavering trust for that person. The other thought that came to my head is somebody comes up and says, you know, your spouse, your boyfriend, your significant other, you know, they're cheating on you.
Yeah.
And you can, and just like the devil does, God doesn't love you. If you have that unwavering trust in God, you can look at the devil, look at that friend who says, oh, that you love that person so much, you know they would
that
never
they wouldn't
cheat.
Do that. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know that God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get to know him? I think it's pretty obvious. And this is why Ooh. I say this is the word for me today. And, you know, I've been struggling like what, you know, with many different things in my own mind trying to resolve. And that's it. You know, you just got to get into the word. And if you're afraid like me, where do I start? This is a pretty intimidating book. It
yeah.
really is because not because of the words in it. Oh, no. It's because, look, it's thick.
It's huge.
Right? And this is where the devil's going to attack you again. This is a, look at how big that word you're going to even start. You're too stupid to even
right.
understand the words. But you don't have to worry about it. And we already said, email pastor.
And the Message Bible.
Yeah, the Message Bible. There's prayers out there. That prayer is much avail.
Yeah, yeah.
Avail much. I always
Whatever.
Say that wrong.
Prayers that avail much.
That's right. I always say it wrong. But
great
you know,
prayer
those
book.
Things, and they that prayer book, not only does it give you specific prayers,
yes.
it gives you coordinating a scripture.
Right.
And then what it does in the back of that prayer book is it gives you the scripture. Say it
right.
says Romans 8:28. It'll say Romans 8:28, all things come, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
I did see that on your paper, so
yeah.
I wanted you to know
Romans
that. That's what made me think of it. But it gives you that scripture in the back of the book. That's a great way to start. And if you're just getting
yes.
into the Bible, what the pastor always says, go with John.
Right.
Start with John. It talks about the life of Jesus.
Yes.
When he's, you know, his coming out, his debut.
Yes.
So I just wanted to say it was because it was, I'm like.
And, you know, you started as mentioned Bible study because Bible study is critical. And in our Bible study at Beacon, it's a fun time, isn't it, Catherine?
What, it is.
Tell
it's
our
like,
audience
it,
what we do.
It's like sitting around some comfortable couches just
yeah.
Bouncing ideas off each other. I mean, it's really informal. It is all into Bible Bible verses and discussion. And
yeah.
Anytime we try to get more complicated than that, it's the best of it is just opening the Bible and deciding on what's the topic of that night and then all discussing it because
it is
you
cool.
know it just breaks it down into our daily lives.
Absolutely.
And it's you know it doesn't have to be complicated, but I do want to say when Michelle was saying, you know, faithfulness, you know, falling into faithfulness, how to do it, what's a practical way to start. You know, you have to be hungry for it, I think.
Right.
And it really helps to have another group that's This is what did it for me. I grew up in a Catholic church. I did not study the Bible. I had the sermon, you know, on Sunday morning, but and it was very removed from me. It was the priest up there doing the sermon, and I didn't study the Bible. But when I did, and it was in college, it was because I was invited to a group, a Bible
right.
study group.
Yes.
And it was a small group of less than 10 college students, and it changed my life.
That changed your life.
Yeah.
Praise
and I
God.
Think it's because, and I didn't get it all at that point. I was like a baby in learning the Bible, but it did. It did for me what I think it's done for a lot of people, in that you start somewhere and you keep wanting to learn.
Yes.
And once you know that this is the book, this is the most important book for me.
Right.
You keep going back to it, and you come to different groups, Bible study groups or churches or friends, or, you know, and there's layers of meaning.
Yes.
That you just get deeper and
yes.
deeper in it. And I think falling into faith, your biggest a friend or biggest pathway to doing it is being in a Bible study.
Absolutely.
And it's like chocolate. Once you had a taste, you
wow.
want more.
You want more.
Yeah. You
Woo.
Keep wanting more, mm-hmm. and you keep, you know, you find yourself getting that peace and making good decisions, I think, instead of poor ones. So it's just life-changing.
It is. Through it all. Listen to this.
I love this.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation, that my trials only come to make me strong. I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own. Through. If I never had a problem, wouldn't know that he could solve them, wouldn't know what faith in his word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all.
Engineer Bill was actually piping his own voice.
He was jamming with us.
He was jamming Through It All by Sela. And you know, Catherine, the point you were making before we went into that song was Bible study, fellowshipping with God. I'm going to address this issue of fellowshipping with God Wednesday night at our Bible study at Beacon of Hope. We welcome you Wednesday at 7.
Yes.
Bring a Bible, or we have some extras,
yeah,
don't we?
Yeah, we have one for you. Just come with a willingness to learn.
Yes.
And it's there.
The chairs, the tables are all set up.
Yes.
We do it classroom style in a big U.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can look at each other and communicate. And it's really, really
cool.
It's just
really just bouncing off the word. And it's...
Amen.
It's really great. And sharing the word.
It does. And Doug it brings a dictionary.
Yes.
So we can look
That's
up
right.
certain words, because,
That's right.
you know, some of these words that we see are just, you know, we use them so commonly, I told Catherine this the other day, I heard this song. It says, never overuse the word I love you, or never overuse I love you.
Yeah.
And I think about that, like even with faithfulness, what you were talking about today, is we use it just so conditionally.
Right.
I mean, we're conditioned to use it, that sometimes it loses meaning.
Right.
And so you want to bring it back to the true definition. So, you know,
God's loyal love never walks away from us. He said, I am there for you always. I will never leave you or nor forsake you. Mm-hmm. He said, no matter what you do, I haven't ever deserted you. Mm-hmm. I've not walked away from you. And we've got to remember that, because a lot of times the devil tells us, you know, God's not there for you anymore. You've just really messed up one too many times.
Mm-hmm. You've done it now. You're out.
You've done it now.
Yeah.
And God says, I love you with an everlasting love.
Amen.
Praise God.
How could you not want to learn more about that?
Exactly. Yes. Really. And he accepts us. In fact,
who else does? Hope, no one else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
God loves us, he accepts us, and he forgives us. You know, the laugh, L-A-F, you know, and then you can laugh after you get that down on the inside of you. He loves me, he accepts me, and he forgives me.
Amen.
You know what I love about Wednesday nights?
What? Tell me.
There are all different levels of knowledge of the Bible, really.
Right. Yes.
There's people that have never opened the Bible, and so they're, you know, learning from square one.
Trying to find the books.
Trying to find the books.
That's all right.
Trying to find out, you know.
I just had to look up Lamentations.
Trying to find out, you know, just from the very beginning. And there's people that have been in, you know, Bible studies and have learned in a different, you know, numbers of years. So it's really
exciting,
that that group comes
and
together.
I think it's
and everybody
contagious.
Learns from everybody else.
Yeah, it is contagious.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want what she has.
Right. That's
kind
what
of
happens.
Contagious.
Yes.
You know, and then and again, it's what I was talking about when Catherine was saying, when you get in the Word and you really get into it, it is, if you're not a chocolate lover, say it's like eating a Pringles.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just have one. And you, or that's Lay's, right?
Lay's, whatever. Yes, it's Lay's
and
potato chips.
Yeah, and then, in the Bible study, it's that when we're speaking, we're talking, we have our praise reports and we have our miracles and
every week we make a list that's ridiculously long, isn't it great?
It's awesome, yeah. And or we have an epiphany or something,
yes.
And other people either experience your joy,
right,
or you experience other people's joy, and you want that,
right. Mm-hmm.
You want that very same thing. That peace. I can confidently say the things that I seek through God, which I have received, is peace and joy.
Amen.
And those are the two most powerful things that anybody can possibly
That goes
have.
Along scripturally. Romans 14:17, written by Paul, said this: the kingdom of God is not what you eat or drink. Okay? It's not that Starbucks coffee you got right there. The kingdom of God, it doesn't matter what it is you eat or drink. He said it's righteousness, that's right standing, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
So it's all about learning to be in right standing with God. It's learning to walk in peace and learning to walk in joy. Have a good time, for heaven's sake.
Right.
I mean, the reason this 2 hours goes so fast is because we're having fun here.
Right.
We're having fun talking about the goodness of the Lord and the faithfulness of the Lord. So now, Catherine, I'm going to come to you for your final thoughts. What would you like to say to leave this show? And by the way, you can catch this show again tomorrow after about 12 o'clock. It is on our website every week, which is so exciting. All the shows from 2010 are on our website right now, beaconofhopeministries.com. Go and listen to them and learn from them. And go ahead, final thoughts, Catherine.
Well, our theme was fall into faithfulness. And
yes.
I think one of the key points for me is, you know, don't get discouraged.
Yes.
Once you're committed and you believe in what we're saying and you believe that in God's, you know, never ending love for you, be faithful to it. Yeah, you'll have times when, you know, the trials come and, you know, you're wondering, you know, how you're going to get through it. But fall into the faithfulness that you keep, you always have hope. You can always be reminded of that hope.
This I recall to my mind, Lamentations 3:19. Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness.
I love
Memorized that years ago. Go ahead, Michelle. Your final thoughts.
That would be my final thoughts, too.
Okay.
Because, you know, when you do, because, you know, the one thing I do know is that I will be attacked.
Yes.
I feel it particularly now that I'm moving into another in another step of my spirituality.
Right.
My commitment to God and my commitment to this ministry. And I feel attacked. And I'm sure, although I'd like it not to happen, God, so hear my plea. I'm sure I'm going to have that attack again. And inevitably, I get very discouraged.
Right.
And exactly that. I will... As Tim Robbins said in Shawshank Redemption, they can never, ever take away my hope.
There you go.
And I have hope in the Lord.
Therefore, I have hope. The Lord's loving kindness and tender mercies never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. So tomorrow morning, I challenge you, when you open your eyes, thank you, God, for the fresh batch of faithfulness that you're going to give me today. Great is thy faithfulness.
Amen.
Great music on this show today. Invite a friend to listen to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We are live every Sunday afternoon. We come to the studio. We make the effort every week. We do it joyfully with all that is within us because we believe in the ministry that God has given us. Go to our website, BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. Check it out. Give financially to the work of the Lord on this radio station through our PayPal on BeaconofHopeMinistries.com. And as always, we want to leave you with this thought, and it is the song right now. It is not far to Jesus. So if you may feel that you're a long way off from really walking in God's faithfulness, get acquainted with him. Come to Bible study if you're in the Tampa Bay area, Sunday mornings at 11, Wednesday night at 7, and every Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock on this wonderful radio station. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister, Michelle and Catherine. Saying, God bless you.
God bless.
God bless.
Have a great week. Catch us next week and share with a friend. It's not far to Jesus. Crank it up, Bill.
It's not far.